Welcome to this edition of We Are GCI. And today my guest is Gavin Henderson, Superintendent from Europe.
Hi, Greg.
Glad to have you here.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so I think the one of the more important things we want to talk about before we get into ministry and your region is we want to talk about your family a little bit. Do you like that subject? Very much so.
Very much so.
Well, your wife, Sinead, and we'll get around to talking about some things that she's involved with, but tell us about your children, Gavin.
So I have three children, and the oldest is Nova, she's 10, then I have Digby, who's 9, that's my son, and then I have another daughter who's 8, so they keep me busy.
And her name is
Brogan.
Brogan. Yes, yes.
Got to get it in.
That's right. She would be upset. Well, you have a lovely family. I've enjoyed seeing them through the years, and I imagine they've been growing like weeds.
Yep, definitely.
Well, you and Sinead, you've been a part of something now that's gone on for a little while in your own home community, and it's starting to look a little bit like a church plant, maybe. Tell us about that.
So it's really encouraging. Sinead and I have lived in the town where I live, Market Harborough, in England for quite some time now. And for a long time, we've wanted to have a church where we are. And a lot of things have kind of begun to come together, and over the last year we've started having new people come to the small group we have gathering there. We put on a lot of events for the local community, and it's quite encouraging because we're starting to get to the point where we speak to people in Market Harborough and they actually recognize the name Grace Communion, and they have heard of some of the things that we're doing, whether it's an event at Christmas or Easter, or we do a barbecue as well. And that's really encouraging for us.
No, exactly. So in a lot of ways, Sinead, she's kind of the connecting voice, isn't she? Is she the one who's kind of building the relationships?
So I'm a bit more of an introvert. Sinead is very much an extrovert. And she's built a lot of relationships in the town where we live. A lot of those are through school. Mm-hmm. As a parent, you meet a lot of other parents at
right.
school runs.
Right.
And some relationships have developed very kind of organically. And I think Sinead's really, I admire the mm-hmm. way that she puts her faith into action. And she's very good at sharing her faith. I think that's one of the gifts that she has. And she's very much leading the church plant that we're doing there mm-hmm. in Market Harborough. I think it brings some advantages. I'm not always there every weekend, so I think it's good that she's the lead there. But it's really encouraging to see the impact we're having on people's lives. So in one of the events that we did recently, so on Christmas Day, we put on a meal for people who didn't have anywhere else to go. And this is now the third year that we've done that. And I think this is also the year where we ironed out most of the kinks that have taken place. But what's really encouraging for us is that the people who come to these events now, they're building relationships with one another.
Right.
When they walk into the room for our events, they're not just greeting us, they're greeting the other people who have come along. And these are, you know, friendships and relationships that have developed organically since we've started doing these events. And some of them have even started meeting up midweek as a result of this. And I think that's really encouraging because you can see how God is at work in what we are doing.
That's wonderful. I mean, in a sense, the neighbors connecting with neighbors, you know, you end up being a bit of the catalyst. And I know your wife pretty well. She connects quickly.
She does.
and she loves deeply.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good way to describe what a church planter's like in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, definitely. I think you need to have that heart for people. And I think Sinead really does, that's my wife, she really does have that heart for people. And I think it people respond to that. It's authentic, mm-hmm. it's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes when we do things as a church, it doesn't always come across as authentic and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important that when we do something, people understand why we're doing it, understand what's going on in our hearts and our minds when we engage with people.
Absolutely. That love of Christ flowing through you, your wife, and the others who are part of that.
Yeah, we have a whole team there, so
yes.
that's quite encouraging that we have other people who help support. So we've got somebody who helps the children's ministry, Zan O'Donovan, and she's a real asset that we have. We have a number of people who are good cooks, and I enjoy cooking too. And so we do meals quite frequently after service, which is nice. It's nice to have that kind of time together afterwards where we can share our faith.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and one thing, I don't want to miss this, because you talked about one of the outreaches actually happened on Christmas.
Yeah.
And so there's a level of even sacrifice in doing that, because a lot of times we like, well, I'm just going to stay home, my kids, let them open up their toys and play and whatnot. And I'm sure you make time for that too.
Yeah.
But it's sacrificial. If you're going to be part of a church plant, there's a level of being sacrificial. Can you speak to that?
So I definitely think there are sacrifices that you need to make in a number of ways. My wife doesn't work full time. She's a nurse as well. Part of that is because she wants to have the time to dedicate towards the church plant. But I think you're right, even when it comes to Christmas, this was the first year one of my kids have said, you know, do we have to do this? But interestingly, after we had done it, they said, can we do it again next year? So that's a good sign that sometimes what we think are sacrifices when we're going into it, when we come out, we realize God has just blessed us in different ways.
Exactly. So. It's... you know, as a little term that said, and sometimes I'm not into little slogans, but blessed to be a blessing. In a sense, that's the thing, because we can never outgive God anyway. And like you say, the reward that has come from that. And I tell you what's really especially encouraging too, and maybe for even your region that you oversee in Europe, is that we often hear that Europe is now post-Christian, you know, that it was just, you know, we've moved on from that and so forth. But you know, this is an expression to show that that's not entirely true, is it?
Yeah. The thing is, God works miracles.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter where we are or what's going on in the society around us, or, you know, we can talk about how atheistic or secular culture has become in the West. But the truth is, there's no culture that God can't reach, because God is a miracle worker. And I think that one of the things that when it comes to church planting is, you really need to put your trust in God, put your faith in God, because it's not us who calls people, it's God who calls people. And we just need to keep coming back to God. And you know, one of the things that both Sinead and I have discovered with the church plan is that you need to pray a lot more than you think you do, even going through. And obviously you think you wanna, you know, soak it in prayer, but you come away afterwards and you think, what we need to do next time is pray more.
Right.
And I think that's true, because God is the one who's in charge and in control. And I think it's definitely shifted my mindset. I used to look at the UK and see all the obstacles. And I think sometimes there are benefits about talking about the obstacles and challenges, but I think sometimes we can talk ourselves out of seeing the opportunities that are there. And if, you know, in Europe, in the West, if society as a whole is moving away from Christianity, the reality is that's creating more opportunities for evangelism as opposed to less.
Yes.
But we just have to, I think, have the confidence to have those discussions. I know, particularly in the UK, but in a lot of Europe, we struggle to talk about our faith. And so, you know, around a dinner table, often those conversations don't come up. It's considered, you know, almost rude to ask somebody what their religion is or what they think about God. But I think as we try and reach out to people, we need to have those discussions. And when you start having those discussions, you know, people have a lot of questions. You know,
they do.
What happens after death? You know, what happens to the loved ones that they've lost? And I don't think there are answers they can find out there that really satisfy them, because what they're looking for is Jesus.
That's
They're looking for the gospel. And I think we have such a message of hope. And if you look around Europe needs that hope, I think, more than anything else. I mean, all of us do.
We do. No, that's really good. I mean, I've found in my own life experience that you start talking about religion or Christians, and people really just are like, no, let's talk about sports, let's talk about something, movies or whatnot. But it is interesting to me that oftentimes when you want to talk about the image of God, everybody has some image of God, and they don't really necessarily shy away from talking about that. So I just found that as a point of entry that, you know, I fly on airplanes a lot, as you can imagine. Yeah. And so sometimes the discussions go there. But I think what you've discovered, too, you and I talked earlier about some of this, too, that some of what you're experiencing, only God could be doing it.
Yeah. I think that's really encouraging when you're involved in ministry to see those moments, because those are the moments where it's like, yes, you know, we're doing something right if God is doing the work. Mm-hmm. If we're doing the work on our own, then I think we're very much living out of our own strength, and that's not what we're called to do. And, you know, we may be able to do a lot in our own strength, but sooner or later we're going to encounter problems that we don't have the skills or the talents or the gifts to solve. And when God is the one who breaks down those walls and those barriers, it feels like a confirmation that, yes, you know, we're connecting with God, that we're participating in what He's doing, as opposed, yes, to trying to get Him to participate in what we're doing.
That's powerful, because I was thinking that of how that sometimes, and especially for our church, there's been some trepidation and fear about stepping out and risking relationships. We talk about the demonstration of God's love and acts of kindness, but we then talk about the proclamation, where we do talk about God and who Jesus is in our life, and we do get a little fearful in that. But you're talking about the fact that, you know, we're not going on our own power.
Yeah.
You're participating, you know, the Spirit's already out there in front, so This is really helpful for those who are listening who have fears and trepidation. What would you tell them?
Well, the way I did it was to send my wife out. And that worked out fairly well for me. But I mean, one of the really interesting things is that I think everybody of us involved in the church plant is being changed by it.
Yes.
I think seeing how people respond to the gospel gives you encouragement to keep going. And I remember I was on a phone call to a friend I had had, you know, I've known him for years. And as we were walking along, all of a sudden he stopped and he said, "Did you just say hello to somebody you were passing in the street? Because that's not me." But that is a change that I feel God is working in me, is He's given me more of a heart to reach out to people, even strangers that I meet. And I look at that and I think 10 years ago, that wouldn't be me. 20 years ago, definitely not.
Yes.
And that's God changing my heart, which is part of my prayer in ministry, you know.
Right.
I don't always feel equipped for all the situations I find myself in. And in those moments, my prayer is, you know, God, change me.
Yes.
Equip me, you know, help me to grow into the person you need me to be. And God responds to that. You know, God
yes,
has developed me. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. I've got a long way to go. But it's encouraging to see, even in my own life, mm-hmm, the changes that God has been working in me. And not just me, in the other people, the team that's working with it.
Right.
I think all of us have grown in confidence if we look back to where we were, mm-hmm, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I praise God for my wife, Sinead, and that, yeah, she had the courage to lead the way.
Right.
But I think that if we do step out in faith, it's always surprising how often God, you know, answers,
right,
that. And I would encourage people to just give it a go.
Yes.
Know?
God's already at work out there.
Yeah, He is.
I think one thing, too, even in your stage of life with the age of your children, there's this extra connection, even because they have friends in their schools, and you connect more with people because, you know, through the children. And I think I look back on my own life and I think how when my kids were playing sports or were involved in school activities, how I had such a wider audience to connect with. So I'd like for people to think about that, because you, yeah, really are in a good stage for that.
Yeah, I do think that the stage of life I'm in, particularly with younger kids when they're primary school, you tend to really meet other parents a, mm-hmm, lot more, and you get more involved in the community. But also when you have kids, you end up going and taking them to, my son Digby's into karate practice, mm-hmm, my daughter Brogan is in Brownies, I guess,
yes,
maybe you call it guiding.
I'm not sure. Girl Scouts type thing, right?
Those are reasons why you meet other people and other parents as well and build relationships.
Right. Those are opportunities that you have because of the connectivity with the kids. So, you know, again, keep your eyes open and see where God's working in those relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You also told me beyond your team there with the church plant, you even said in some of your congregations, you're seeing also this change of heart, this transformation of heart. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we've had we've been through some changes in terms of our structure in the United Kingdom, but kind of coming out of that, I think one of the really encouraging things has been, you know, to see some of our congregations have really developed this new culture of looking outwards. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, as congregations in Europe, we've tended to look inwards. Mm. We're looking to meet the needs of the congregation. And it's really encouraging to see some of our congregations not looking to meet the needs of the congregation first necessarily, mm-hmm. but to think, what are the needs of the community that we can reach out to? And of course, that's very much in line with the gospel. And mm-hmm. when we think of the needs, their greatest need is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so how can we share our faith and engage with the community? And we have a congregation in London. They meet in a place called West Hampstead. So they changed locations to move into a kind of community area. They meet in a community center we have there, and they've really reached out into that community, and that's been really encouraging to see that change take place.
Yes.
And you see it as you go into the congregation, they have a newfound purpose. Mm-hmm. Their purpose isn't just to meet every week. Their purpose is, you know, to reach out and demonstrate God's love to the local community.
Right, to be a tangible blessing to their neighbors.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's outstanding. So let's move out of the United Kingdom for a minute. tell me about other things going on in Europe.
Yeah, so we've got a number of congregations in other countries in Europe. The main ones we have are in France, in Italy, and the Netherlands, but we've also got a congregation in Switzerland and Spain. The congregation that we have in the Netherlands is quite exciting. The largest church we have there is in a place called Tiel. Mm-hmm. And Tiel originally started as a church plant, but they're now over 20 years into it, and they're thriving.
Yes.
So their church attendance is up about 70, but they have a thriving kind of youth ministry.
Yes.
And that's been very encouraging to be a part of. And one of the things that's nice about that particular congregation is the leader there, Hans de Mooy, the national ministry leader in the Netherlands, he's been really encouraging in meeting up with some of the people involved in the Love Avenue in the United Kingdom. And he has a lot of experience from going through a church plant process himself.
So yes.
I mean, he's offered a lot of good advice and support to Sinead and me in the church plant in Market Harbor, but also across the board. And it's nice to have those kind of international connections.
Yes.
Where we can share ideas and concepts with one another.
Right. That's part of the alignment that we have, being a networked fellowship. We're in 68 countries around the world, so
yeah.
There's opportunity in that, so we can be connected, and you have within your own region. We need to give a shout out to Martin too, Hans' son, because Martin's doing some good work with the youth ministry.
Yes, yeah. Hans' son Martin, he's involved now in a ministry there for RGCI Church in Tiel, and it's been really encouraging to see how the youth have responded to having a pastor who works specifically with the youth there. Mm. And so that's been really encouraging. And I saw him not too long ago, back in November, and it was really encouraging to spend some time with him and to get some updates about how things are going in Tiel.
Well, excellent. These are hopeful stories.
Yeah.
I'm going to join you later in the year, and we're going to meet up with some of our group in Italy, and hopefully some of the other European leaders too. So I look forward to those times. So that'll be good. I wanted to switch gears here a little bit too. Okay. So you're superintendent, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, but you're like on the younger bracket of our superintendents. You've probably noticed that.
Yeah, maybe a little.
Which is great. You're a youngish man, but you're not a young man. You've got good experience, and I really like the fact that you're in the mix. How does your dynamic of relationship go working with the other superintendents? What's that like for you?
I think it's been really encouraging working with the other superintendents. I think because I am younger, stepping into the role, I maybe had some nervousness about that, but I think the other superintendents have such a wealth of wisdom, and it's not just the knowledge they have, it's the humility they have and their willingness to share and, you know, to help when you need it. I've never had a superintendent turn around and say that he or she's not willing to help me. They always have time. And also when we gather together, we've been gathered together this week, it's been really encouraging being able to spend that time and build relationships with one another. And I certainly come away from every time we meet up encouraged. Sometimes we can talk about similar problems we're facing. Sometimes we can talk about similar opportunities we're facing. But it's just nice knowing that there are people on the other side of the world who are praying for you, who are for you, and that you can speak to about ministry and about any personal struggles even that you're going through.
That's right. The sense of a community of practice, as we like to say. Right, right. So I know in a lot of our churches, and I'm guessing in your region too, we seem to be missing a bit of a generation that may be more in your age group and not always a lot of young people. Thank God for the congregation in Teal where we see that. You know, there are some places. But what would you say to a younger person who's, you know, kind of sitting on the edge, they're distracted by certain things? What would you tell them about how Christ may be working in their life and how much in GCI we would really like their involvement?
I think moving into ministry can feel quite intimidating. And I think often, you know, you might have expectations about what being in ministry might involve. And the reality is ministry is so varied. Nobody's expectations are going to be right. But I think that's one of the great things about being in ministry is that, one, you're never doing it alone. You're always doing it with God. God is with you, you know, and we look to participate in what he's doing. And I would certainly encourage anybody who's younger and perhaps thinking about wanting to be involved in ministry to make that step. And I think it can be helpful to even reach out and, you know, speak to somebody and say you would like to be more involved in ministry. If that is the thought process that you've been going there. But I would certainly encourage people to pray about it, but it certainly changed my life for the better. You know, when I think of my involvement in the ministry, I thank God for the way that he's worked in my life. And, you know, it's a real blessing to be involved in ministry because you get to work alongside and engage with so many beautiful members and contacts that we have around the world. And, you know, a lot of the inspiration and encouragement in the job comes from the interactions we have with our members in participating in their spiritual life. And I would certainly encourage people to, you know, embrace it as much as they can when it comes to being involved in ministry.
Absolutely. And if the opportunities are there, just, you know, try it out, you know, take the first step.
And, you know, I think in GCI, generally speaking, we have a group of people who are very keen to support people moving into ministry. And I think that's on an international level. I certainly hope it's in the region where I am in Europe. But certainly, it delights us to see people wanting to be more involved in ministry and wanting to, you know, kind of engage and take the next step in their own spiritual journey.
Yes, yes, very good. So as we wind down here, what are a couple of prayer points that you would have for your region that you would like the audience to join with you on?
So I think one of the prayer points that I would have for Europe is we do have a lot of older congregations in Europe, and I think that is a challenge when it comes to leadership planning for the future, how best to handle. So I think please do keep our congregations that are older in your prayers about, you know, maybe future leaders will be able to join them, or You know, there'll be a change in the age demographics we have in our church. That would be one of the areas, but I think probably the biggest area for me is that when there are opportunities facing our congregation that we have the courage to walk through the door of those opportunities. Mm. Because I think, you know, no matter where we are, God is opening doors for us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just need a little bit of a push to go through those doors. I certainly know that sometimes I do. Sometimes I need that push. But so don't pray that people are pushed, but pray that they go through.
Yeah, even just a sense of boldness, maybe a sense of courage to do those things. I'm hopeful for Europe. You've given me a lot of hope today. And I'd hope to see, too, even from what you're learning there with the church plant, that some of those things will be stories and even some mindset that we could see more church plants happen.
Yeah, that's the hope I think everybody has in GCI, is that we will see our congregations multiply, that we will see new church plants taking place throughout Europe. I look forward to the day when we will see that happen.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, I think it would, all of our friends who are out there in Europe who are watching, I'd like for you to pray for your region, and we'll conclude with your prayer.
Okay.
All right, very good. Let's pray.
Heavenly Almighty Father, Father, we come before you, Lord, and we know that you are a good God. You are a loving God. You are a God that just is generous beyond our imagination, Lord. And Father, when we think about GCI in Europe, when we think about what you are doing in Europe, Lord, Father, we long to be a part of what you're doing. We long for there to be a revival in Europe, Lord. We long for people to turn to you, to know you, because we know that you are the answer that so many people in this world are looking for, Lord. And Father, as I think of our congregations in Europe, I just want to give thanks for all the members that we have throughout there, all the members and contacts who look for you, Lord, because you are the one who is our hope. And Father, I thank you so much for everything that you are doing in our midst, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you be with our leadership, that you help us to be bold. Help us to be bold in declaring your gospel. Help us to walk through the doors that you open to us, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you help us to put our trust in you. We know that you are a faithful God. We know that you have given us many promises in your word, in the Bible, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you help us to walk in those promises, to put our trust in you, and to live out our faith in both action and in words, Lord. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we just ask that you use GCI in Europe to proclaim the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we give the whole church into your hands. We know that you are the head of the church. We know that you are the one in charge. And Father, we just put our trust and our hope in you alone. And we say this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Gavin. It's a pleasure to have you here. And I would just ask our audience to continue to lift up Gavin and our churches in Europe, and for the gospel to go forward in Europe.